Hi, my name is Linda. I am a sex love addict, anorexic fantasy addict, and of late I discovered that I'm also a social media addict. funny, isn't it? Yeah. So, I was at the SLA intergroup meeting the other day, and the guy who was like the audio librarian, I forget his name, I think Jake, he said that they are looking for speakers, to post on the website. So I decided to record my share on my phone, and here I am. So I just want to kind of, I'm going to share for about maybe a little over 20 minutes, I think. Yeah. So, I'm just going to get very current right now. My fantasy addiction, is kind of coming up right now. And, just to give you a little background about me, I am a very hardcore, dyed in the wool, 100% bona fide anorexic number one, right? And, with a little fantasy addiction sort of thrown in. And my fantasy addiction is really coming up a lot. And I guess right now it's kind of over, of all things, like this animated series on a channel right now. And I decided to kind of do something to kind of use my fantasy in a positive way. So right now I am working on a piece of fan fiction stories. Just to give you a background about me, I'm a poet. I've been, writing since the early mid 90s, and I've never written a piece of fiction before ever, in my life. I mean, I'm a poet. That's what I do. I mean, but I just have to kind of expand my vision, and my higher power clearly wants me to expand my vision. And I've been kind of trying to work. I'm at the beginnings of the story right now. I'm just really, I don't know what it is. I'm just really super excited. And I want to, this story, it's kind of based on like this series, like I said before. And, I want to throw in this character, main character. This is after the series is over, and I want to, just kind of have this kind of romance sort of thing going on, and I don't want to be all spoiler alert. So I'll just kind of leave it where it is. So hopefully it'll get published, and we'll see what happens, and I turn it over to my higher power. So anyway. I'm just trying to kind of use my fantasy in a positive way. And just recently, I was sharing, as I said before, I'm a social, I'm addicted to social media. I mean, I could be scrolling a lot, and a lot of these, my addiction kind of turned, first it was like women's empowerment, and then it became, like bad relationships. And then it became men and weaponizing competence. It kind of morphed into one thing. It was just kind of like, like in that movie, The Matrix, where they said, I'll show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Yeah, it goes that deep. So that's what's going on with me. And I just, find myself kind of dipping in there. But lately I just find myself a little bored with social media. Just like, oh God, it's the same old thing. I'm bored with it. And, and I think my story is a little more exciting. And, so I'm just trying to use things in a positive way. So that's that. So yeah, I just wanted to kind of share and get very current. So just to give you a little background about me, I've been in this fellowship since 2004, and the reason I kind of came into SLA very crawling on my hands and knees over a major qualifier of mine. He was also a poet, and I remember, seeing him at some reading that he started in Hollywood somewhere, and I was very enamored of him, and just very, put him on a pedestal. And mind you, I did have other qualifiers prior to this guy, you know, like a verbally abusive poet and an alcoholic who fell off the wagon and I 13th stepped and, you know, so on and so forth. But this is the person who I just thought that he was going to be my quote unquote one, you know, and just he was just the long story short, he was unavailable, you know, and there was this unavailable with this because he really wanted to be with this woman who was this poet. And, you know, I just thought she was just like this the moon and the sun and the stars. And you know, and I remember he told me like on our first date that, you know, things had kind of fizzled out between them, but they had kind of separated, but he wanted to get back to her with her, so on. And he had a child with her. And bear in mind, you know, they conceived within 2 weeks of knowing each other. And I thought that was hella romantic, please. Anyway, you know, that's crazy, crazy, you know? I mean, who does that? Who does that? I think, you know, methinks another sex and love addict, but, you know, that's not for me to tell somebody else's, take somebody's inventory. But anyway, yeah, so that's what happened. And but, you know, my MO was to look the other way, you know, just to look the other way in this, just like that's what I do, you know, as a sex and love addict. I don't want to see things clearly. I mean, there could be like sirens blaring, flashing lights and whatever, but, you know, I just kind of, fly myself into the danger zone, to quote that cheesy, like 80s song or something. And, but I just, because I just want, what is it, you know, what's my motivation for, kind of not looking at things clearly, you know, because I just don't want to, why don't I want to see reality, you know, for what it is? And why don't I want to get honest with myself? Because, you know, I guess the addiction is just feels so good, you know, or so I thought, you know. But I was with this guy for a very long time. I mean, the first date, we, you know, just, it was just like, it wasn't even a date, you know, or what I would consider to be healthy dating. I mean, it was just like getting together, and then he was kind of, you know, kind of this all over me. And then next thing you know, kind of fill in the blank. And you know what? It's so funny, because I remember this big, like a huge open mic at, you know, of all places, a Scientology center, nothing to do with Scientology. So it just a full disclaimer, but they had this reading at the Scientology center in Hollywood. And you know, just remember him kind of being all over me and, you know, just I was getting that high and that hit, and unbeknownst to me, my soon to be qualifier was kind of looking at what was going on, and he thought I was going out with this guy, and it wasn't that the case at all. But he just, that was kind of like his thing. He did that a lot, and he's good at that. And I think I think sex and love addicts can kind of, are energetically sort of tied to each other. They kind of know who's who, you know, and I just was kind of attracted to, I just have had a series of one bad relationship after the next. And it's just, I don't know. And I don't even, I dare call my being a qualifier a relationship? I guess so, you know, if you want to call it that, I suppose, whatever you want to call it. You can call it Gertrude for all I know. But in any case, so that's what happened. And, you know, the big kicker was that he had a picture of his qualifier on his altar. And I didn't even see that until maybe a month or 2 months or whatever down the road. And that was a big slap in my face. But what did I do? I still was with this guy, you know, because I just didn't want to let go. I did not want to let go. I didn't want to feel the feelings of loneliness. I didn't want to feel the feelings, period. And so I did not want to let go. And I think that's probably why, just not wanting to feel lonely. And, you know, just to kind of, describe myself. I'm a woman of color, black. I'm a plus size woman, and sometimes those feelings just like, nobody's ever gonna be into me, because I'm who I am, and this is what I look like, and nobody cares, and I just, I'm like the last pick for teams, whatnot, and so. I just need to kind of I still need to kind of work on my self-image and self-esteem stuff. But in any case, so that's what so that's what I did. So, I just looked the other way and was not very honest with myself, and but he was also was very overly critical and somewhat abusive of me. Verbally abusive, not physically abusive, but just to also to just kind of backtrack a little bit, the guy who was a verbally abusive poet, I know if he was like a hitting kind of guy, he would have hit me. He seriously would. I know. I remember him yelling at me at the car, for because I was paying attention to some M, the MC in his mind, and I was paying a little too much attention to him, according to what he had to say, and we went to his car, and he was like fucking yelling and screaming at me, and. And it's just like he that's the I mean but I mean dude the Duke would have I'm sure that he would have been, if he was a hitting guy, he would have hit me, seriously, he would have. So anyway, so I just that's what that was that's my MO, to not look at things very clearly, to not see things clearly. So I was I To be honest, I was in and out of this relationship with this man. I remember, just things sort of fizzling out, and then, it was like a few years later. I just I went. I remember going to his place, and then one thing led to another, and whatever. So, you can kind of fill in the blanks with that one too. And so just, having just. It, the kind of one-sided relationship, one-sided sexuality, and doing more for him that he would do for me. And I remember just things. I just remember things like I remember him, just after this night of being together. I remember him, not walking me to my car. I mean, it was like freaking late at night. And seriously, somebody could have jumped me. They could have jumped me, and he wouldn't have known, And just, I remember like this when we first got together. I didn't have a car at that time, and I'm sure you kind of figured out by now where that I live in LA. And so, and I remember. Taking like a taking I was working a retail job. I didn't have a car. I was taking a bus, and busing it from like Century City to Silver Lake. And for those who live in this town, that's really, really far. That's like from the west side to the east side, and on a bus too. And then the bus only went so far, and then I got off, and then I took a cab, which, I mean, if I was working retail, I didn't have that kind of money, but I spent a hell of a lot of money on my disease, And I remember spent giving him money for his rent, and buying him food. He didn't have a whole lot of money either, and just, I spent a lot of time and a lot of money on this disease, money that I will never get back again. And that's sad, So, just I was kind of off and on with this dude, and then finally, I just decided that I, in just in 04, that I just I would, the disease, like it says in the big book, all AA big book, all but cut me to ribbons, and so it just did. And so I, I just decided that I just needed to go come to SLA. And so, I knew SLA was a thing. I'm no stranger to 12 steps. I've been 12 steps for many, many years, but this was the last place I wanted to be. But I just have to say that this fellowship really, the program really, really works, And I wasn't ready to let go of my qualifiers immediately. It took me a while. you know, it really took me a while to let go of my qualifier, you know, which is, I know, and I heard this, people saying you have to cut ties with your qualifier right away. I was not ready to let go. You know, it took me time. I found a sponsor right away. I started working the steps, you know, right away, and a lot of mistakes, and I picked up another qualifier along the way. Unfortunately, that didn't last very long, you know, but then I got back together with the main qualifier I was just talking about now. And I think what happened for me was that I started to really make bonds in this fellowship, you know, finding a good set of friends in program and going out to fellowship and, you know, make and doing fun things with friends and discovering myself. You know, I put this man on a pedestal so much. I just thought that he was just this, you know, race man down for the people kind of guy. And just like, and here I am, like this little Miss Nobody. And, you know, I just started to kind of do things that I love doing and you know, doing like write a lot more writing and working on a solo show and, you know, acting and doing all these things. So I just started to develop my sense of self. And so I'd done what I shouldn't have done, which is like ghosting, you know, treating him like some bad Tinder date, you know, because I really wasn't ready to have that conversation years later, you know, that I was just not feeling, you know, I was becoming less and less enamored of him. And I just remember, you know, hearing a voice at my, in my higher power, you know, saying to me like, you know, as I was kind of with him for the third and last time, I heard a voice from my higher power saying like, Linda, keep your bags packed. Like, you know, don't get too comfortable with this dude, you know? So, you know, it's just like, okay. And he just became less and less attractive. And so, it took me like a long time for years and years and years. And then, you know, I remember just like cut to a few years, like, I don't know, I think it was like 2012, 2013, after, you know, like trying to do my best to ghost him, you know, he, you know, there I was, you know, on my coming home from a meeting and this just thinking in my head, like, you know, I'm open to love, blah, blah, blah. And then next thing you knew, you know, he leaves a message on his voicemail, on my voicemail saying, hey, you know, I moved to K-Town, which Koreatown, you know, not too far from where I live and, you know, starting some reading, so on and so forth. And, you know, I was kind of freaking out and, you know, kind of, blowing up my sponsor's voicemail. And then my sponsor says, clearly it's not because he's trying to, you know, hype some reading. He wants to get with me. And so it was like, I do the same thing I do before, or I kind of make a decision and let go of him once and for all. And so I did that, you know, you know, and I thought it was going to be all depressed and sad and just all boohoo and crying. That was not the case at all. Totally not. I mean, it was the best damn thing I could have ever done for myself. You make good decisions and, you know, it's like the third step, you know, just like turning my will and my life over to the care of my higher power. And I did that and a weight lifted off my shoulders. So, I mean, it was the best effing decision I could have ever done for myself. So, okay. So, sad to say that the story doesn't end there. Okay. So cut to like 2 years ago, 2022, just to let you know, I was working on a book, you know, during the pandemic and, my book got picked up for publication by the small press and there I was, you know, doing at the book release and kind of reading my poetry and doing my thing. And then I didn't, the house lights were down, you know, when I was doing my reading. Then, you know, when the house, at the end of the reading, the house lights came on, and, you know, who should be there but the main qualifier? The thing about him is that, I mean, since he's a poet, we kind of run in the same circles. I did not send him any like Instagram, you know, like meme saying, hey, come to my reading. You know, he found out about it on his own, and he came in his own volition, and, you know, and I have not talked to my qualifiers, you know, for years and years. And then there he was, you know, and he said, you know, you did great. And I said, thank you. And there I was signing and, you know, trying to sign books. And just fortunately, a good friend of mine was there, and I was just kind of sweating bullets, you know, but, and I kept my composure. I kept my cool. I did what I needed to do. He bought a book, but thank goodness I didn't sign it. He just kept it moving. Thank you. So, you know, the program really works. I mean, I kind of think of it as just like being at a gym, you know, and the more you go to meetings, the more you work the steps, the more, you get recovery, the more, it makes you stronger. You know, it gives you that strength. You're not going to be the same person that you were when you walked in with heavy with your disease. You're not going to be the same. You know, I had to find that out the hard way, you know, and it just, I am not the same I'm not the same person. I'm totally not. I am so grateful for this fellowship. I really, really am. And, you know, for those who are struggling or those who are new, you know, I really encourage you to please keep coming back. Please go to meetings. I know that things are rough. I know it's really hard right now. You know, and even for those who are struggling, just keep coming back. You know, I assure you, you know, things, it's going to get better, you know, one day at a time. Thank you for letting me share. Thank you.